So for me, being on purpose is that I am congruent. I both deliver and I live what I want to teach other people: to sell with ease, to scale with simplicity, and to have a life. Like, whether you have two-legged or four-legged children, a partner or not, like, we're meant to experience this life, not to be chained to a desk. And that's probably why you started your business, was so that you could have autonomy, freedom, and do what you want. And if you've built a business that doesn't give you that, it's time to rearrange it.
You're listening to the She Is Fierce podcast. I'm Kelly Youngs, the founder of She Is Fierce, a global women's network that elevates women's stories and gives you the tools and connections you need to live on purpose. We support female leaders and business owners who are ready to level up in business and life. We partner with and provide speakers and development programs for companies that believe in the power of supporting women on the rise. On our podcast, you'll hear the inspiring stories of professionals and entrepreneurs who have overcome challenges and built purpose-filled lives. And you'll get a behind-the-scenes look at my mission-driven business and learn how to brand and grow your own.
Welcome back to the She Is Fierce podcast. I am so happy to introduce you all to the fabulous Laura Wright. She is the founder of Epic at Sales. Laura is a coach and business consultant who transforms overworked and underpaid businesswomen into seven-figure empire builders. In the past 20 years, she has closed over $43 million in sales, sold over $47 million worth of goods and services, and helped almost 5,000 artists sell tens of thousands of dollars worth of work. Now, Laura and I have been connected for years, and most recently, she was a special guest speaker at our She Is Fierce Summit, sharing her insight into the power of approaching sales differently. Laura, welcome. I'm so thrilled to have you on our podcast.
Me too. I had one of those moments where I'm like, Kelly, we just should talk all the time and talk about sales and fierce women and all the good things in the world. And that's what everyone should be allowed to do every day. So thank you for having me here.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I created She Is Fierce, because that's what I want to do. And I love talking to you. I always leave lit up and excited about what's next. And it's fun to just connect anyway. But today, before we talk about sales and before we talk about some of the practical and wisdom and advice that you have, I really want the women in our community to have a chance to get to know you a little bit better. So can you share a little bit of your professional history and kind of walk us through how you became the sales guru that you are today?
I love this question. So I've been doing this a long time. Sometimes I go back all the way, but I'll hit some highlights because I think they're important. So many, many moons ago, like back in the 1990s, I did work for corporate America. And at the time I was doing really high ticket sales. I was selling events and trade shows and, you know, like $5, $7, $10 million contracts. And so I started out selling high ticket and it was the thing that I knew, but I found out very early on corporate was not for me. I don't play well when there's rules that are not my own. And so I decided to leave. At the time, I went back to school to finish up my degree. Fun fact, I have a bachelor's in a BFA in fine arts, which I use the creativity side. I don't do as much with the artwork. But while I went back to school, I had this little buzzing in my ear where my mom had wanted to always buy and sell real estate. So I kind of got fed up hearing the desire, but not the doing. And I sold my house and proceeded to build a multi seven-figure real estate investment empire. And over the years, I bought, sold, renovated, rented about 100 properties in about 5 years, which if you do anything with real estate, that's huge volume. We had 2 construction crews, all the good things. And you're like, this sounds great, Laura. What's the arc of the story? So 2008 hits. And if you are stateside or not, everything collapsed with the real estate market. And I found myself just drowning in debt. I mean, I was more than $500,000 worth of business debt and nearly $100,000 in personal debt. And I was unemployable because I had run my own company. And I remember thinking at the time, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was sole provider for our family. And I was in it. And so I did what I know how to do best, and I started selling. And what I did was I started going into other people's companies and doing done-for-you sales. And then I hit another wall, where we all do, where I realized there's only so much of me to go around. There's only so much time in a day. And I couldn't just do done-for-you sales. And I was also starting to get to this place where I was frustrated that other women weren't just able to go snap and here's a couple hundred thousand dollars. So I did what I normally do. I go big. I got rid of all of my done-for-you clients, packed my family up, moved up to New York. And I started selling coaching and consulting, where I started teaching other people how to sell the way that I sell so that they could run their own businesses. And I want to say it's been smooth sailing every single day since, but you understand entrepreneurship. There are highs, there are lows, but the number one thing that's kept me going is my rock solid ability to connect with humans, to really create trust, to talk about value, and to close sales. And that's really my mission, to help other women be able to do the same.
Well, I love your mission. And I have to say, one of the things, and I'm sure you've heard this from so many people about you, but also just in general, one of the things that we see often in the marketplace, especially with online sales, is people who are selling something that they haven't necessarily proven their ability to do. And one of the things I love about you is that you have this great background in different areas. Because I know, you know, with so many women that I work with, within our She Is Fierce Mastermind, right? We have women from all different backgrounds with all different kinds of offers and businesses. And, you know, some are selling products, some are selling services. There's so many different ways to sell, and to be able to bring all of that to the table and say, okay, here are the things that are consistent across the board, but also here are the things that you need to do differently and adapt to your business. So with that in mind, I know you and I meet so many just female entrepreneurs, as you said, right? And I love that you're supporting that mission and really want to see people thrive. And I think we meet people who are both starting out and have no experience in sales, and it's just deeply overwhelming, right? Even if you're someone who's good at sales in a corporate environment, sometimes just selling something for yourself is just stressful, right?
It's a different animal, really.
It's an entirely different experience. And then we also meet people, and I know you meet even more people than I do, who are already seven-figure business owners who are trying to grow and scale their businesses, and they're stuck not in their business model, not in their, you know, capability or kind of proof of their offer, but really at that sales block. Mm-hmm. So first I want to ask you, what is the advice that you give most frequently when you're talking to people who are like, I'm here, I have this passion for this business and I'm starting it, but I have zero money in the bank and I am not sure what to do and I'm terrified of sales. Right? And I have to say, I've heard that so many times. So I would love your insight and just to know what it is that you share with people when they come to you with that, you know, common situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So number one, it's a really interesting thing between men and women. And I've noticed that a lot of men go and build startups. They access credit, they access capital, and they know that there's going to be a loss and they just go run with it. And a lot of women get started and we bootstrap and we don't have all that capital or that access, or we don't see that we have it. And so I get that. And what I like to help women do is figure out how to really solidly craft an offer that they can easily sell so that they can start cash flowing themselves. I also like to help people see how to create capital, because it is great to be able to sell and have immediate money, but sometimes, like, using a credit card, going to a company and asking for a loan is a smart business move when you need to understand something. I also think this is the number one thing that I say to people. The way the universe works is you go first and then it provides. And whether you're spiritual or not, what I actually mean is it's just that law of attraction that we've heard about, any concept you've ever wanted to plug into this. I know that when I go out and move in the direction of what I desire, it just creates the pathway for me to have it. So when I meet somebody and they are stuck, I say, what do you want to sell? Who do you want to serve? And how do we go find them? And then I think the other key point is you need to have a formula you can follow. what I've learned is that we are not taught sales in school. Like, I don't know a single school out there that says, hey, you're in high school and maybe you're going to go into college. Would you like to know how to sell a product or service? They don't. So most people go into the world and either you only have bad experiences because sales doesn't feel good, you have no experience, or maybe you've learned some techniques that, again, don't feel good and don't work. What I like is to teach just a very easy formula so that you can relax, enjoy the process, and know what you can count on. For me, I know if I talk to 10 humans, well, I'm probably going to walk away with 9 or 10 sales, but that's just because I've been doing this forever. But even if I was only going to walk away with 1 or 2 sales for talking with 10 people, if I knew that and I wanted 4 or 5 clients, I'd go get connected to the number of people that I needed. And that's, I think, what most women especially are asking for, is they want to count on themselves. They want consistent reoccurring revenue, and they want to know what to do so that they're not struggling and floundering. And when you have a sales formula you can follow and you know your offers, it makes it really easy to connect with people and make sales.
Yeah. I mean, I love your insight because it is so much about the practical, right? About the formula and the practical and all the things you have to do. But it's also so much about what individuals bring to the table and the fear and the emotion. And, you know, you shared a little bit about the desire to bootstrap or the desire to bring in revenue so that you feel like you're doing the right thing. And that's such a huge element of kind of that starting journey. And then, you know, thinking about business owners and entrepreneurs who are already multiple six-figure business owners or seven-figure business owners, and they're in that situation where, as I said, like, they've figured it out and yet they can't quite get to that next barrier. Is there any, you know, just small piece of wisdom that you find yourself sharing with business owners like that who are stuck, basically? Yes.
I would tell you, so the number one thing, and this goes for both sides, whether you're starting or you're advanced, but especially when you're advanced, is you have to do leverage sales. And I'm going to be careful when I say have to. What I mean by leverage sales is either you have a sales team, so other people who are doing the sales for your volume, or you are doing one-to-many sales. And for my clients, I like to show you how to do them both because that makes things stronger. And I think it's also about understanding sometimes another person can actually sell better for you than you think you can yourself. And so most of my entrepreneurs that I work with who are in the multi-six or even multi-seven figures, we're showing them how to gather groups together and sell one-to-many, so all at the same time, and how to be a leader of a sales team. And that is a different entity to motivate, to connect, to transfer your information and your knowledge to other people. It's a different skill than actually being able to sell. So I like to really get in there and help my clients build a sales team. And I will tell you a secret. A sales team can be one person. I think we get to that place where we think it's got to be like 20 people doing something or none. And just having one extra set of hands, that is usually the game changer for making sales.
Yeah. I mean, fantastic advice. And I love your insight into scale, right? So thinking about just having one really competent person, that's the huge piece, right? Is just getting the right people and putting them in the right place. But as you said, also reframing your mindset so that you're approaching things differently. You're not approaching them as a solopreneur or even a solopreneur who has a few contractors. You're really thinking about your business differently. All right. So now I want to ask you, I've got all these great sales questions for you, because I think this is, I mean, clearly it's your area of expertise, but I think it's something that I feel like almost everybody who is a business owner that I have ever met stumbles, right, in this sales space. So I really want to ask you, what is the piece of advice that you give most often that people do not put into practice and that you are constantly thinking to yourself? And I have this experience all the time, like, if they just did this thing that they've heard a million times, that they've agreed is the right thing to do, but they haven't actually done it, they would see the results they want. What is that thing for you that you feel like, oh, I just keep telling people, and if they just did it, they would get those results?
Yeah, I feel like I have 15. I think one of the big ones is, you know, the same. selling with love and conviction and confidence yourself. And there's a difference between confidence and assurity. What I do when the reason why I know I'm compelling when I sell is I hold the container. Like, you can relax, you can count on me. I am strong through my conversation without having any like battery to it. Like, I am just here for you. I also know this: sell a bigger ticket item. It takes more work to sell low ticket than it does to sell high ticket. And this is that conundrum that most people have is I see this over and over and over again. In fact, I have an entire program where I teach people how to not do this. Is when you are selling low ticket, short-term programs, you exacerbate the problem of needing more leads and to do more sales all the time. And so when I'm working with people, especially people who are new and starting out, if you don't have a baseline of strong revenue, you start to make bad decisions. Like, you get scrambly, you get worried. But when you have consistent high level revenue, you take a minute and you wait a minute. Should I invest in that? Should I hire this extra person? You start to make really thoughtful decisions. So the number one thing that I would say is, no matter where you are in your entrepreneurial journey, you really should have, and I don't like shoulds, but this one's almost a must, a high ticket offer that allows you to make one high ticket sale and then be able to like live through that and to be able to serve that person for a long time, because it will just give you peace and ease. So I would really say, be willing. People buy what you sell them. I think this is the condensing it down is, every time someone comes to me and they're like, no one's buying my thing, or they will only buy this little thing. And I'm like, they're buying it because you're selling it. I literally just solved this with one of my clients. She has about a $1.7 million business and had like a real big dip, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. But she was selling these little like $27, $47, $97 little solves. And so that's what people were buying. And they weren't buying her $15,000 program, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Because every time they arrived on her doorstep, they had a way to buy something small. So we eliminated all of her low ticket offers for an amount of time. And we had her sales team hold the line. And now they sell a $15,000, $18,000, and $30,000. And that's all they sell right now. And guess what? When you know it, the exact same people who are hanging around them are buying that, because that's the one they're offering. So hold the line, be willing to step up. It actually gives better service to your clients by having higher ticket offers. It's better for you and it's better for them. Should you have low ticket at some point in your product suite? Absolutely. But if what you really, really need is to maximize your revenue and have more time freedom, high ticket's going to be that key for you.
Mm. I love that advice. And again, just to go back to this, I feel like the strength in that advice is the practical business wisdom, but it's also the find a way to create peace for yourself, mm-hmm. right? So you can make good decisions. So I love that. And I want to ask you, because I think this might be the answer to one of my other questions, so let me lead into it. And that is, what characteristic that you have do you think has made you most successful?
Oh.
Is it the ability to do that? What is it that you feel?
Literally, my whole mind is like, it's me being fierce. So, I couldn't just make that up, but here's what it is. I am willing. And what that means is, I am willing to reach out to someone. I am willing to have an uncomfortable conversation. I am willing to make a $100,000 offer to somebody. I am willing to see that there are millions, billions of people on this planet that I could serve. You know, like, I am willing. And I also am resilient. And what I mean by that is, I teach something with my clients called don't stack your no's. And what that means is, we've all had it. Even I get no's. Yes, it happens. No, everyone gets no's.
Yeah.
But what happens is, most of the time when people hear a no from somebody, they shut down, they stop selling, they change their offer, they change their audience. They're doing things that make it hard for people to buy. So I stay consistent, I stay resilient, and I'm willing to make the ask. And when I ask, I get to receive, and so do my clients.
Mm, I love that. And I will say, now having been in business for a long time, and I think this is probably true for you as well, I've learned a lot of times a no is just a not yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many times that no converts into, to your point, a bigger sale later, because as long as you're kind of keeping that relationship positive, there's opportunity, right? Because you, as you said, you're kind of dealing with the people who can benefit from the services or the offer that you have. All right. So with that in mind, and with all of your wonderful wisdom, I want to ask you about the hard times, right? So a struggle that you may have experienced and how you got through it.
Mm-hmm. I actually, it's funny. I was just asked about this the other day and I want to share it. So the times in my business that I've had the most struggle are when I have broken my own rules. And here's what I mean by that. Most of us really understand what makes us successful or how we do things at work. And I, in fact, teach certain things. And I remember a couple of years ago, I did this thing where I did a really big event. I brought all these clients in all at once. And I did a open enrollment event where everyone joined a program and we were all going to go together for about 6 months. And they were all going to end at the same time. And one of the things I teach is how to do rolling enrollment or overlapping programs so that you don't have a mass exit of clients at the same time. And so I found myself, it was a July because I went away for the week and I had 24 people inside of a program. And historically what happens is if I have 24 people in a program, 20 say yes and maybe 4 won't keep going. While I was away, I had somebody who I had great respect for who was inside of my program, and she decided to make everyone in the room a very special invitation to work with her. And I came home and 20 out of my 24 clients declined to renew. And so that summer, all of a sudden, I had not even considered that that would be a possibility. And I think that's the thing to think about. Is had I even just thought maybe that will happen, I would have had my hands in different pots. I would have been doing different marketing, bringing people together. So instead of scrambling, because I've been in this place before in my life, I decided, what can I do? So first and foremost, the four that stayed, I poured my heart into them and I really gave them great service and support. And then the second thing I did was it was a very hard choice to make, but once I made it, I know it's what it prepared me to have a seven-figure business that I have now. Instead of scrambling and just selling anything to anyone who was around me to make sure I could make my money. And side note, sole provider, it wasn't like my mortgage was like, don't worry, Laura, you don't need to pay for things. I know this happens. You know, like all the bills were still there. And so what I did was I did the counterintuitive thing. I got rid of all of my low ticket items. I reimagined my mastermind program. And I knew the number one thing that people wanted to buy from me was working one-on-one. So I made all my one-on-one only available inside of my group program so I could have leverage. Cause what I also knew is I was going to need time to go market and build my business again. And I went and sold 3 people into a $60,000 program. And why I did this was that was enough revenue for me to make sure my family could function for 12 months. And I sold it for a 12-month run. I said no to some people while I was going down that pathway, because I knew if I had sold all these little ticket things, I would have overbusied myself and I would not have gotten myself out of this. So I had to hold that line. And it took me about 2.5 months to rebuild my business just to have a foundation. But remember, I was talking about being smart and making choice. Those 3 clients let me go, okay, now what are we going to do? And with that, I rebuilt everything. So that's one of my, where I got stuck and how I got myself out of it. And it's all about sales.
Yeah. I mean, what a great story. I'm grateful to you for sharing that. And there were like so many different pieces. I was like, oh yes, this. So there's 2 parts of that I want to talk about. One is the tough part of being a business owner that nobody tells you about, which is you kind of see pieces of people that you don't necessarily want to, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the people that you let in, whether it's in business or personally, when money gets involved, they behave a little bit differently than you would have anticipated, right? And, you know, I think I've experienced that to some degree. And I've also had many people that I've worked with who've experienced it in much bigger ways. And let me just pause on that and say, what advice do you have, having been through something like that, for women who are experiencing some variation on that theme?
Yeah, twofold. One, I love collaboration, partnership. I love hiring people. Part of my mission is to help women make money. And I do that also by hiring. So I think one of the biggest lessons that I was taught by this experience is, one, we didn't have a conversation about what would happen if this happened. So henceforth and forthwith, every time I brought someone into my company, we have an open conversation called, these are my clients. Here's how I expect you to interact with them. In fact, I have someone right now who I do some partnership with, and we literally had a conversation called, I know some people are going to go through my program and resonate with you and want to work with you. So here's what you can sell to them. Please sell to them. And remember, point them. We're going to have an open conversation. If they are, I believe, better served by me, I get the ability to have that conversation. So I think that that spoke to me. The other thing is, I think I was a little bit, I don't want to say naive, but I didn't watch the signs of the group gathering together. And I love selling in group. And I think it's very important to remember that when you bring people together, you want them to gel. And what I learned was they gelled together and then they went together. So what I also remember is by doing enrolling enrollment, that doesn't let me have that experience of the mass exodus. So I think when you are dealing with people, be open, be transparent, be honest. It's almost like you need a prenup when you're going to work with somebody in business when they come in.
Absolutely.
It's like what I now do is everyone who comes in, we have a conversation of what would it look like when we separate. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, it's better. I also know this. I know the woman did not henchman style go behind my back and do things. I know that was the outcome, but I do still know where her heart was. So I remind myself of that. And then I also now have non-competes. So that's the smart.
So smart, but also a healthy approach to the emotional side of it. So I love that. And then the second part, and something that I'm kind of taking away from so much of so many of your answers and so much of what you shared is this idea of simplifying, right? Having these really powerful offers, but also simplifying. I think, you know, from knowing me, that is a struggle that I have. I'm like, we can do everything for everybody and we love it. And you cannot always deliver at the absolute highest value that you want to deliver at. And you also can't, you know, to your point, bring in the revenue in a consistent way. You might have a lot of revenue coming in, but you don't necessarily have that consistency that you just know this is what I'm delivering to. So I know that's something that I have learned from you and learned from experience as well, and have made a lot of changes even in the way that we work with She Is Fierce. But it's also something that I love you sharing from your perspective and also your own personal experience, right? Is there anything that you want to add to that? Because I feel like that's such a powerful takeaway.
So what I like to do in my business is I have high ticket, high leveraged offers. And what that means is I have the most available time, space, and predictability in my business, but it's not cookie cutter. It allows me actually the freedom to be. What I also know is this, is I like to build everything where there is a core offer. A lot of times that's a mastermind for me or a high level group coaching program. And then I have a step up, either private or I have not a step down, but like a small bite way to get started. Now, what that means is when everyone arrives on my doorstep, there's a way we can work together. Some people want and need the private work. Most people can come into my mastermind, and some people need to get started by making one solve. But I also have a group component with everything that I do. And that leverage gives me freedom. But more importantly, if my schedule is overbooked, the potency of what you get when you work with me starts to go down. So I think being able to keep things dead simple. And I will also say this, people buy what they understand. I know you do this very well as well. Like, my mastermind is not complicated. My group coaching program has one very simple theme. When it's easy to understand, people do not hesitate. They know how to buy. And when I keep it simple, like, I have a very lean team. It's me. I have a gal who helps me and supports me with my sales, and I have a virtual assistant. And I have a gal who does a little bit of tech. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, it's a very nice, beautiful, lean team.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just to lean on that as well, you know, everyone has a different approach. Everyone has different kinds of businesses and what they're offering. But I love and admire when I meet people who are able to run really profitable businesses with fewer people, because I know as a business owner how much joy that probably brings you, right? The ability to not have so many people to manage while you're also delivering value. So I love that, even though, of course, there are examples of businesses, and some of my favorite business owners who run really big businesses have phenomenal teams and are doing incredible things really as team leaders, because they're not the ones delivering the value. They're not the ones doing service or sales. They are really focusing on that team leadership piece, which is an entirely different approach. Now, you've shared so much about sales. I'm grateful to you for sharing some of your story. I want to talk about the theme that comes through all of our podcasts, and that is this idea of living on purpose. So I want to ask you, what does it mean to you to live on purpose, and how do you kind of feel like you're living that out, both in your work, but also, you know, in your personal life?
Mm-hmm. I love that. So I think I've even said several times, it's like my mission to help women make a lot of money. So I, number one, do that. But I think it is critical that you show the example of what you want to help people do. And I'm going to give you a little example. Like, my husband bought me this gorgeous,
beautiful
tennis bracelet. I love it. And it was funny because I would never like buy myself that thing. I'm not about, like, I don't love those things the same way. But when he got it for me, he's like, this is you showing that you have a loving, supportive partner to your people. So not only can you be in business, but you can have a healthy, thriving marriage. And I was like, oh, and then when I put it on, I feel amazing. I purposefully take off every Friday. It's our date day. We nurture our relationship. We have a lunch date. And it's my reprieve from my week where I pour back into myself so I have enough to give. I think it's critical that you show how you are congruent, and it's not just like, it drives me insane when I know a few very well-known people in our industry who teach to have a very relaxed, hustle-free life. And I think they are some of the most stressed out, hustled people I've ever met in my life. And it
frustrates— I'm nodding.
It frustrates me.
For anyone listening to this later, I'm nodding. Yes.
Yeah. It's the unattainable thing. So for me, living on purpose is twofold, that I actually am doing the joy and the work that I want to do. I remember we were going on vacation and my son was like, Mom, why are you on Voxer again? And my husband was like, hey, twofold. One, Mom loves her work. Like, it doesn't feel like work. And I think that's what everyone really should have. There should be a lot of experience in your delivery and doing that you feel like it's not work. And the second thing is, Mom working allows us to go be on vacation right now. So what works for me doesn't work for everybody else. But when you can find that your business should provide the lifestyle that you desire, not your business makes you have to work like a maniac to make the money to maybe later have the lifestyle. So for me, being on purpose is that I am congruent. I both deliver and I live what I want to teach other people. To sell with ease, to scale with simplicity, and to have a life, like whether you have two-legged or four-legged children, a partner or not, like we're meant to experience this life, not to be chained to a desk. And that's probably why you started your business, was so that you could have autonomy, freedom, and do what you want. And if you built a business that doesn't give you that, it's time to rearrange it.
What a beautiful way to kind of wrap up our conversation. You know, as I said, and I think this is going to be clear to anyone listening to this, I think you are so good at the sales, good at many things, but really good at sales and helping people to kind of frame up how they sell well. But also, I love and I'm grateful for your insights into what it means to actually run a successful business and what success looks like. Mm-hmm. I know often once people start a business, then we hear like, oh, well, I didn't hit this goal, or I need to make $1 million, or I need to do this, these specific targets that don't necessarily align with the values that that person holds. So I love hearing successful business women who really are willing to share, like, yes, I reach for high goals, but also these are kind of my non-negotiables. So I love that you shared that, and I'm grateful to you for that. Now, in my final question, is there any other wisdom as we wrap up our conversation that you want to share with the women in our She Is Fierce community?
Yes. Ask for more. Ladies, ask for more. If I could stand up on the stage and do my TED talk, which I keep considering, I think that it would be about being willing to ask for more. Like, ask for more money, whether you're in a job or you're in your business. Ask for more of your relationships around you, both personal and professional. Ask more of yourself. And when I say the word more, I don't actually mean volume. What I mean when I say ask for more is I made a decision. We talked about the Fridays thing. Years back, my Fridays were for VIP days. And I had a year that was one of my highest revenue generating years. And I did 36 VIP days during the year, which meant, yeah, 36. I did a few that weren't just on Fridays, but it was a lot of work. And I remember feeling drained and stressed out. And I made a commitment and a decision to remove that from my schedule to give myself rest and balance, but I was unwilling to take an income hit. Mm. And what's really freaking phenomenal is I asked for more rest and still to have more money. And I've never looked back. And I now occasionally do a VIP day on a Tuesday or a Thursday when it feels like a fit. I only usually probably do a handful of them a year now. And my revenue was able to stay high. And I think what happens is so many of us, we get afraid to ask for what we really want. And I think that's what I mean when I say ask for more, is I got clear. I wanted to work with a handful of clients and $100,000 offer, so that I wasn't doing a ton of VIP days. Like, I got clear on what I was willing to accept and what I wasn't. And I really just say to other women, be willing to ask for more. There are ideal clients out there who wanna give to you. And I always like to say this, if you even do a 10% increase, you can double your income. And here's what I mean by that. If you bring market to 10% more people, if you sell 10% more in your price point, if you close 10% more people, if you take 10% of your delivery away so you have more time, that those little tweaks can radically change your business.
Wonderful final takeaway. And for my last question for you, I just want to ask you how She Is Fierce has impacted you. So what She Is Fierce means to you, and also how we just as an organization have impacted you.
Okay. So I feel like I want to say 27 things. I think back to when we first met and I just was like, what are you doing? This is awesome. Wow. I love that there is another voice of a woman, yourself, who is gathering other fierce women together and showcasing them. Because I think we live in a land of competition, and you are so collaborative, cooperative, and willing to put other women on a platform. And I am deeply grateful for it. I know one of my favorite experiences, we were just talking about this before we began the podcast, is I got to come to one of your events back in January, I guess. And it was phenomenal to watch you shine, to watch the women in the room, for me to connect and make new relationships. So I just find that She Is Fierce is a non-negotiable in my life. I need to know you. I need to be around the people who are also promoting other powerful women. So for me, it's been a huge impact. And I love just being able to be engaged and connected with everyone in your world.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. All right. Well, Laura, I'm so grateful to you. I want to thank you, the sales queen, the founder of Epic at Sales. You can find more about Laura and connect with her at laurawrightofficial.com. Thank you so much again, Laura. It's been such a pleasure. I have so many good takeaways, and I know everyone listening will as well.
Thank you, Kelly. It's so great to be here. And just everyone out there, go make some sales. There's so much money. There's so much abundance, and you're actually able to serve when you sell.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the She Is Fierce podcast. Join our community of fierce female leaders and women on the rise who are ready to level up, make more money,
find more joy, and make their mark in the world inside our She Is Fierce membership, our high-level CEO mastermind circle for entrepreneurs, or at one of our sold-out live events. Choose how you want to get involved at sheisfiercehq.com.